from the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, astrology looks at the Shemitah. That's right, a possible September disaster. Maybe. We'll talk about that. Here is an update for you on our producer, Tom Danheiser. I know many of you are concerned about him, as we are. He has been released from the hospital now following his pulmonary embolism. They're trying to dissolve this, but the doctor felt, you know, Tom's been in there for several days. You can go home and rest. And he is. He's not been cleared for work yet by any means, but he is out of the hospital and appreciates everything you've been doing. Here's what's happening. The Justice Department says federal agencies will have to obtain search warrants to use technology that tracks mobile phones under new guidance. Until now, the agencies, such as the FBI, had not needed a warrant to use machines called cell site simulators that track the locations of phones in the area. Authorities say they have been an important tool in fighting crime. However, civil liberties groups have expressed concern at potential invasions of privacy. And the Justice Department has agreed they're going to back down on this. Well, maybe a victory for us. A pair of brothers and two other men have been charged with stealing neither 1,200 laptops bound for public school students in New Jersey after investigators determined that their story about a theft did not add up. Even as President Obama was securing the Senate support necessary to assure passage of the nuclear deal with Iran, Tehran's top defense officials were scoffing at U.S. claims that the pact will restrict the Islamic Republic's military ambitions. As the White House secured those last needed votes to block a veto override in the Senate, Iran has unleashed a double-pronged attack, vowing to, one, block inspector access to some sites, and, two, vowing to continue preparations to destroy Israel. Jerry Corsi, noted author, Atomic Iran, one of his books. Jerry, I don't get it. How can we be working on this deal when the Iranians are saying things like this?
It's incredible, George, the lack of goodwill on Iran even to tone down the rhetoric right now while the Senate is preparing to vote is astonishing. I mean, it is so in your face that Iran is saying they're going to develop nuclear weapons, no one's going to stop them, and we're releasing something like, you know, billions of dollars, $150 billion or more to Iran, and without any assurance that Iran is going to be going back to developing secretly nuclear weapons. When I wrote Atomic Iran 2005, I actually predicted it would be John Kerry. That's, you know, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Who would do the final negotiations to give Iran the bomb, much as Jimmy Carter in the Clinton administration was negotiating with North Korea and trusted this rogue state would not develop a bomb if given plutonium. And I think Iran is now on the track of developing nuclear weapons. It'll be almost impossible to stop, lead to proliferation in the region. And I just can't imagine how we can negotiate with someone and trust them when they're belligerent even before the agreement is signed.
Now, I'm going to get some emails, Jerry, from some people who are pro-Iran, and they'll say, no, 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 the interpretation is taken way out of context. I don't think so.
Well, George, we've had constant revelations of new secret. I've attended some of the meetings in Washington, new secret sites where Iran is developing nuclear weapons that were never disclosed. Iran refuses to allow open inspection of their sites at any time. And it's just not credible to think that Iran will not produce a nuclear weapon when there's this amount of deception on the part of the Iranian regime going back now over a decade.
If you were Israel, would you attack?
Well, I think, the fuse is getting very short, and Netanyahu is on record, the Prime Minister of Israel, is saying he's already tried to get the support of the United States, even, to attack. And the Obama administration has indicated at least one time the Obama administration would actually shoot down Israeli airplanes if they attacked. I mean, this is another issue, and this whole agreement with Iran has this treaty committed the United States to support Iran should Israel attack. The Iranians and the United States are great people. I mean, in the huge community, very successful in California. I know many of the Iranians. The Iranians are wonderful people. But this regime is the problem. It's not the Iranian people. It's this regime that hates Israel, hates the United States, and has lied continuously for over a decade on their secret nuclear weapons program. I don't see how they can be trusted.
Yet how can this president continue to push this deal?
Well, you know, George, President Obama's had a determination for this deal as if it were a legacy item. It's only going to be a legacy item if Iran does not develop a nuclear weapon, if Iran becomes a responsible member of the nation states, adheres to the dictates of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, ultimately, and becomes a peaceful nation. Iran has been an exporter of terror and has a secret nuclear weapons program that's been confirmed even by the International Atomic Energy Agency, and it's got a long distance to go. Iran does, this regime, in getting credibility in the world opinion to stop saying that Iran is going to attack and destroy Israel and destroy the United States. Death to Israel, death to America continues to be the battle cry of Iran even before the ink is placed on this agreement.
All right, Jerry, thank you so much. I know you're in New York. You've got a busy day tomorrow, so I appreciate you staying up for us. Five Chinese Navy ships are currently operating in the Bering Sea off the coast of Alaska, marking the first time the U.S. military has seen them in the area. What in the heck are they doing? The officials have been tracking the movements in recent days. Let's check in with Craig Hewlett, author of The Hydra of Carnage. Craig, what are the Chinese up to?
Well, I'm not sure what the Chinese are up to, and most of the reports right now say that it's mostly economic interests, but you know, I have to go back to what I discussed on your show the last time you interviewed me. Russia, China, and India have signed a military pact. Russia and China have held exercises in Asia for the first time on a really large scale. And if you look at a map, which I produced a number of them for my client base, if you look at a map of the Arctic and look down on it from the North Pole, look down on the Earth, America is a very tiny little section there. Russia is two-thirds
huge
of the Arctic. Over half the Arctic's people live in Russia. They have the largest military. In fact, their largest naval fleet is the Arctic fleet of all their naval fleets. And Putin has deployed more naval fleets in the region. China is building up its naval fleets in the region. I recently read a report from our admiral in charge of the Coast Guard, and he said comparing us to the Russians in the Arctic fleet is a complete joke. The sheer number of icebreakers they have is triple the number that not only we have, the Netherlands have more than we do. Canada has more than we do. But the number that Russia has dwarfs all of us combined.
Yeah, they
want and to. We don't even want to talk about the economic interests. Russia is also asking the UN to reassert its authority over the Arctic and grant it a larger piece of the Arctic, saying that its people, its economic resources dominate it, and on a world scale, they're not really arguing the untruth. But, you know, the future of America and Russia and China and India building a military pact and what's going on in Syria, the Ukraine, I know you know that Syrian jets are already being manned by Russian pilots.
Mm-hmm.
We're very close to a conventional war
with
Russia and China. And the Arctic, we're not even close to being prepared.
Here we go again. Craig, thanks. Craig's website, by the way, you can track on our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. Now even French investigators are convinced that the airplane debris found at Reunion Island in July belonged to the vanished Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. This is what they've learned, that a series of numbers
found inside the plane's flaperon matches with records held by a Spanish company that manufactured portions of the component, linking that debris to MH370. Now, this Boeing 777 disappeared, I still haven't found the plane, with 239 people aboard, March of 2014. Devices like tablets, smartphones, and laptops can reflect ultraviolet light from the sun and may indirectly increase users' exposure to the cancer-causing wavelengths, now according to a new study. My gosh, now what are you going to do? And are we seeing a rise in demonic activity? Do drugs have anything to do with the behavior of so many people acting in zombie-like behavior? And there seems to be a rise of attacks concerning people who seem to be acting like wild, ravaging monsters. What is going on with them? I thought we'd grab our resident psychiatrist, Peter Bregan, for a few moments to ask him, in terms of a doctor looking at all these crazy things out there, Peter, what do you think's going on?
Well, I think drugs are involved in a lot of them, George, and not just psychiatric drugs, which maybe make the most bizarre reactions, but also street drugs and alcohol. It's astonishing what proportion of our society is on the drugs. And I also think, George, we're just not prepared for how society's developing. We're developing this huge, coercive, non-individualistic society that really doesn't support individual people, and that is not how we evolved. We evolved to live in these small, non-coercive groups, 40, 50 people. We evolved like that, George, for 2 million years.
Yeah.
But and
it's
now,
so
in a
strange.
Brief time, we're expected to live in these bizarrely huge and coercive places.
I know, Peter, somebody drives through a fast food restaurant in the window. They're not happy with the way things are happening. They yank the hair of the employee and try to pull them through the window into their car. I mean, this is happening all over the country. People are weird. They're nuts.
Well, they're disconnected. We're disconnected from each other. And the society is getting more and more fragmented. There's more and more lack of empathy, caring for each other. And people just don't have the support to remain sane. Our sanity is based on avoiding drugs and having solid relationships. And we're doing more and more drugs, and our relationships are falling apart.
All right. Thank you, Peter. An elaborate ancient sarcophagus has been discovered at a building site in an Israeli city. You know, we've got this story for you in the news. Take a look at it. The sarcophagus, which is around 1,800 years old, was severely damaged when building contractors attempted to remove it improperly from the ground. The stone coffin weighs 2 tons. It's 8 feet long, sculptured all over the place with a life-size figure of a person sculpted on the top, the lid. It's an amazing sort of story in the news at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, our friend pharmacist Ben joins us. We're going to be talking about criticalhealthnews.com and some of the things out there that can help you. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, pharmacist Ben Fuchs with us. Yes, we're going to take calls with him next hour. I know lots of you were still on hold when he was with us several months ago, and you couldn't ask him a question, a vital question, of course, but you'll get that opportunity next hour. Pharmacist Ben, of course, is a nutritionist, pharmacist, cosmetic chemist. He's been compounding custom medications for years. He is with us with criticalhealthnews.com. Later on in the program, we're going to tell you about an opportunity available to you to help them as well. Pharmacist Ben, welcome back to Coast. I hear you were out of the country for a while.
Yeah, I was down under, George. I was in New Zealand and Australia, and it was a heck of a lot like the United States, I got to tell you.
Did you enjoy yourself?
I loved it. It was, you know, it was funny because they talk different there. I was in a store, and I asked for a shopping cart, and she didn't know what I was talking about. And she said, oh, you mean a trolley. They call them a trolley down there. So it's almost exactly the same, but just slightly different.
Pharmacist Ben, I want to talk with you about something personal that's happened here. I'm not going to get too much into his personal life because, you know, that's private. But our producer, Tom Danheiser, flies with me all over the country. He produces a number of my live stage show events, and He's the producer, executive producer for Beyond Belief, the television show, and you know, and he works with our staff, executive producer Lisa Lyon, in producing and working on Coast to Coast. So he travels a lot. And last week when we were traveling to Denver, he came down with some kind of a cold or something, and he just kept coughing. And he's had this cough on and off for about a year, honestly. And he just didn't look right, wasn't acting right. And we did the program in Denver. We taped the four Beyond Belief shows, and we came back to Los Angeles. And he was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And then he was on the air with us several nights ago, and he just didn't feel good. He said, I can't keep going on. I got to call Gina to come in. I'm going to go home. I said, you're not going to go home. You're going to go to the hospital. Well, Gina showed up, Gina Salvati, and she took one look at him and said, Tom, you're going to the hospital.
Wow.
So we rushed him to a local hospital where he stayed for several days, 3 days, I think, three nights. And they gave him a CAT scan, and they diagnosed him as having a pulmonary embolism, which I have now read up on. He could have died.
Yes, sir.
Right there on the plane he could
have
died.
Absolutely. It's a major, major problem, and it is a cause of death. Pulmonary embolisms are basically blood clots in the lungs. You can just imagine the lungs need to be perfused with blood, and like any other part of the body, and there's tiny little blood vessels in there, and you get a clot. It just messes everything up, and you can definitely die from it. And you cough blood and shortness of breath and feel dizzy and woozy, all kinds of issues. So he probably had a thrombosis in his leg for a while.
That's what they think. They think the clot came from the leg.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Well, here's the thing, George. You know, first of all, the key to health and wellness is in the circulatory system. All of life is about movement, and the body is a hemodynamic system. It depends on the movement of blood for nutrition, for detoxification, for oxygenation, and also for electrical energy. As the blood is circulating around the body, it's generating an electrical charge. Scientists call this a zeta potential. And the way we get sick, and this doesn't have to be an embolism or a blood clot, it could be something like an autoimmune disease or an inflammatory disease. The way we break down and get sick is the blood begins to stagnate. It begins to pool. Now, this isn't as much of a problem in the front part of the circulatory system. By circulatory system, I mean a circle. The blood travels through the body basically in a circle. It starts at the heart. The heart pumps. The blood goes down the front part of the circle, which is called the arteries, and then it goes back up again to the heart in the other side of the circle, which is called the veins. The problem is that pumping action at the back end of the circle, the second end of the circle, is not as powerful as the pumping action in the front end of the circle. So the blood tends to drop down at the vein level in the second end of the circle, and that's where it can start to pool and start to get into clogs. The veins at the second part of the circle, the veins, the return trip to the heart, depends on muscular movement. It depends on muscle contraction, because the heart, it doesn't have enough pumping action to push the blood up through the veins. So if you're not moving your body around, or if you're a large person, if you're tall, or if you're sitting in a plane for a long time, as you were saying, or if you have a digestive condition, because stuff gets into the blood through the digestive system, or if you have diabetes or a blood sugar problem, all of these have a tendency to cause the blood to begin to clot. One of the biggest reasons why the blood begins to clot is because of low blood oxygen, hypoxia it's called. So between all of these conditions, the blood doesn't move, doesn't rise up through the back end of the circle, the vein area. It starts to pool down. The movement of blood is not as powerful. The particles in the blood start to glob up, start to stick, and that's where you get into blood clots, and that's where you get into
scary, scary, scary. And see, when Tom is on a plane, Ben, he does not get up. Once he's in that seat, the guy doesn't go to the bathroom. I don't know. But once he's in that seat, whether it's an hour flight or a 3 hour flight, or he flew from Los Angeles to Toronto, that's a long flight. A couple of weeks ago, that may have been the time.
That's where you have the real problems, is on these long international flights. You know, it happened to a friend of mine, Steve Wallach, actually. It happened to him a few years ago. He's going to Australia, actually. And he was on the plane for 14 hours, and that's exactly what happened. So it is not, unfortunately, it's not terribly uncommon and becoming more common. And praise God that he's okay, because it can kill you.
So had he not gone into the hospital, the worst that could have happened is that he could have died right here.
Oh, yeah, he could have died. Yeah, depending on how significant the embolism.
Like, all right, stay with us, Ben. We're going to be back in a moment with pharmacist Ben Fuchs, criticalhealthnews.com. And by the way, they've always set up a phone number to help you. Here it is. Keep it, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. And pharmacist Ben with us from criticalhealthnews.com. He does segments for us every once in a while, too. We really appreciate that. And welcome back to Coast, pharmacist Ben Fuchs with us, of course, from criticalhealthnews.com. Ben, you've been associated with criticalhealthnews.com since its inception, helping people, of course, finding alternative ways to take care of themselves. It's not difficult to do that, is it?
Oh, George, this is it's simultaneously the greatest tragedy of health and the best news of all. The idea that behind all of our seemingly complex and disparate and various disease states, according to the World Health Organization, there are 12,800 different diseases. Behind them all, you will find simple threads that have nothing to do with medicine, that have nothing to do with the medical model, that are simply parts of how we live our lives. You know, most of the diseases that we suffer from, George, are called diseases of civilization, afflictions of civilization. What does that mean? That means it's based on how we live our lives in the 21st century, how we've lived our lives over the last hundreds of years, over the last 10, 12, 20 centuries. When human beings started to explore in the 17th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th century, when we start to explore unknown territories, uncharted territories in the South Pacific and in Africa, one of the first things they noticed is they didn't have diabetes. They didn't have arthritis. The indigenous populations didn't have degenerative diseases. They lived well into their 90s and into 100, and they were lifting things, and they were working, and they were vital in old age. And it wasn't until they interacted with Western civilization, it wasn't until they interacted with what we call civilization, that they started to get the diseases that we suffer from today. So what it really means is, George, is by modifying our lifestyle, by doing simple things like deep breathing, like nutritional supplementation, mm-hmm. like changing your diet, like exercising, simple little things, mental strategies, emotional strategies, reducing fear, reducing anger and hate, being forgiving, being loving, having a spiritual component in your life. These are all the simple little things that we can all access on a day-to-day basis. Something as simple as just chicken soup, George. Do you know how powerful chicken soup is?
Well, you know, it used to be mother's remedy,
yeah,
right?
And not just as an old wives' tale, George. Chicken soup is loaded with immune factors. It's loaded with anti-inflammatory factors. It's loaded with bone-building factors. It's loaded with circulatory system factors. And it's delicious on top of everything.
What is in it that makes it work like that?
Well, lots of things. First of all, it's easy to dissolve protein. That's number one. Easy to absorb protein, I should say. It's dissolved protein in the water. And then it's got cartilage in it. And cartilage is so fabulous as an anti-aging and longevity and wellness remedy. We use it in pharmacy school. We study it as a psoriasis remedy. In fact, if you look at Remington's Book of Pharmaceutical Sciences, which is a classic pharmacy student textbook, you'll see both BTC and BTC topical as a remedy for psoriasis and for skin issues. BTC stands for bovine tracheal cartilage. Cartilage is loaded with wonderful factors that support health, and it's dissolved in the liquid when you make chicken soup. And who doesn't like chicken soup?
Oh, I know. And right? Whenever Mom would do it, we'd always feel better. Why is it that we got sicker as kids than I do as an adult? I mean, I would catch colds more often when I was younger than I am now.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, when we were all younger, we didn't really know as much about nutrition and health, and I've seen you, George. You're in impeccable shape, man. And it probably took, you know, you probably do a lot of things to get in that shape. When you're a kid, and back in, you know, when we were growing up, we were eating foods we now
right.
know.
Today. And we're always around sick kids, too.
And we're around other sick kids as well. So today we know a lot more about health. Also, when you're a child, your immune system is not as developed. It takes a couple of it takes a little bit of time for the immune system to develop. It takes probably 5 or 6 years for the immune system to be completely developed. So we're more likely to get certain illnesses. But one of the good things about that is we become immune to those illnesses over time. So you get measles or you get a virus or you get some kind of bacterial infection, the body develops an ability to handle those particular assault of agents.
It's a wonder that you can just take care of yourself and prevent so many other ailments from popping up if you just use some common sense, Ben.
That's really what it's all about. You know, when I do my talk, sometimes people say, well, what do you want to talk about? What's going to be the title of your talk? I always tell them, this is the title of my talk, Health is Simple. George, I talk to dozens and dozens of people a month, maybe hundreds of people a month. I communicate with them through criticalhealthnews.com on the phone and via email, via correspondence, and it just is so heartbreaking. It is so tragic, the degeneration of the health condition of the standard American, the average American. It is so heartbreaking, especially in light of the fact that all you've got to do is make a few modifications, and the healing power is built into the body, George. It's not like we have to do anything. It's like all we have to do is provide the raw materials and don't put the bad stuff in. And that's pretty much it. And when I say bad stuff, I'm not just talking about through the mouth and through food. I'm also talking about bad ideas and bad thoughts. Mm-hmm. I'm also talking about being around negative people. There's all kinds of ways that we interact with toxicity. And when we interact with toxicity in combination with deficiencies in the mighty 90 essential nutrients, deficiencies in oxygen, deficiencies in clean water, it creates a situation where disease is inevitable. But the good news is by supplementing, by deep breathing techniques, by exercise, by spiritual and mental and emotional strategies, by nutritional supplementation, every single disease state, if it's a chronic degenerative disease, every single one, George, can begin to reverse and immediately. I'm not talking about taking a long time to begin to reverse. Now, complete reversal may take some time, depending on how broken down you are, but the great gift of the human body is the sicker we are, the faster we turn it around. The more weight we need to lose, the faster we drop off the pounds. So if anybody is suffering with any chronic degenerative ailment, and that's what most of our suffering is, I'm begging you to at least try some of these strategies. Something as simple as sitting on the couch and practicing 3 minutes of slow, deep breathing can drop your blood pressure as fast as any toxic prescription drug you can take with no side effects and no toxicity. Something as simple, George, as not eating for one day, as fasting for one day, can begin to reduce inflammation in the digestive tract from Crohn's disease and celiac disease and all kinds of digestive ailments, which are miserable beyond words, can begin to reverse these conditions immediately within one day. If you get on WebMD's website, WebMD certainly is no friend of nutritional or alternative practitioners. If you get on WebMD's website, you'll see an article on fasting and multiple sclerosis, how simply not eating for one day can reduce multiple sclerosis symptoms as or more effectively than any prescription drug you can take. And how much
isn't that amazing? I mean, it's truly amazing.
It is truly amazing. And it's heartbreaking on the one hand when you hear these stories, and I hear these stories all the time, and it is so gratifying when people take me up on these, on my offer. I say, look, just fast for one day. Just practice deep breathing.
Drink water. Drink
just
water.
Drink enough water, correct. Just get on a rebounder, you know, mini trampoline. Get on a rebounder and jump 3 minutes, 2 minutes even. First thing in the morning, you know, first thing in the morning, your blood tends to pool, your lymphatic system, which is your waste management system, starts to clog up. Just getting on a rebounder can wake you up as effectively as a cup of coffee.
You know, I would study this for years. I was obsessed with it. And then when the internet came out years ago, Ben, it just made all of this so much easier.
I love it. Oh, my God, George. I am so smart because of the internet. I used to have to go to the library. I remember I'd have to park my car and I'd have to pay the meter, run up to the, remember the card catalogs? I don't even know if they still have card catalogs and Dewey Decimal System and all that. Now you just on but the push of a button. You sit on right at your computer in the comfort of your own living room. Now it's a dual-edged sword, of course, George. You know, you got to wade through it. You got to know where the baloney is, and you got to know where the truth is, and you got to kind of read up on a lot of different you got to get a lot of different perspectives. But it truly is amazing how much access we have to information. You know, there's a phenomena where information doubles every year and a half or every 2 years. You know, it grows exponentially. So today, the information that we glean from the Sunday New York Times is as much information as was available for centuries not too long ago.
I've got a screen up here in case there's any breaking news, and I can instantly see what's happening. And they just had a commercial for a class action suit for a drug that they've just put Tom on.
The blood thinner, no doubt.
Yes.
Xarelto?
Yep.
Yep. You know, I'm telling you, George, when the blood wants to clot, you are playing with fire if you force it not to clot. You know, there's a story in the Bible where Moses doesn't get to go to the promised land because God tells him, I want you to go to the rock, and I want you to talk to the rock, and ask the rock to give water to the people. And Moses gets angry, and he hits the rock. And Moses' punishment for hitting the rock is he doesn't get to go to the promised land. Moral of the story is, you don't hit the rock. You ask the rock. You are nice to the rock. And the rock is the human body. And there is hell to pay, if I could say that, if you start to mess around with what the body wants to do in an artificial, pharmaceutical, exogenous state. And I'm telling you, George, as a pharmacist, blood-thinning drugs are among the most toxic and deadly.
Right. Isn't Coumadin, though, safer?
Coumadin is a – Xarelto is a high – well, Xarelto supposedly is a safer drug. Coumadin is notoriously toxic, and you have to have your –
Oh, it is.
Okay. Oh, notoriously toxic. Interestingly, though, the word Coumadin comes from coumarin. It's a derivative of the word coumarin. Why? Well, coumarin is a natural blood thinner that's found in vegetables. So what they did was they saw that these
unlike curcumin, which is in
that's a little
turmeric, right?
Curcumin, man, that stuff's really awesome.
I love that.
But natural blood thinners, George. Do you know digestive enzymes are a natural blood thinner? The digestive enzymes that are found in natto are found in fermented products. Vitamin E is a natural blood thinner.
What's wrong with a little aspirin, which is from the willow bark?
You know, a little aspirin is probably not, it's certainly not as toxic as you know, Coumadin or Xarelto or some of these high-tech blood thinners. And there's a lot of things, a lot to be said for a little bit of aspirin. However, you don't need it. George, vitamin E and garlic and carrots and celery and lemons, these are all contain natural blood thinners. Lemonade. You can make your own lemonade with carrot as a sweetener, and you'll have your own natural blood-thinning beverage that'll be delicious. Just lemon and lime and some carrot. Celery juice, natural blood thinner that'll help you with your digestive system, will give you energy. Do you know you can build muscle with celery? I remember when I was a kid, my dad used to make fun of vegetables. He would call rabbit food.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
He'd say, you're not going to eat that rabbit food, are you? Well, you know, what did Popeye eat when he wanted to get strong?
Spinach.
Spinach. He didn't eat a steak. He ate spinach. Why? Because green leafy vegetables contain nitrogen. And you ask any bodybuilder about the importance of nitrogen. Nitrogen is how you build muscle. It's true, protein contains usable nitrogen in the form of amino acids, but you can get big and strong being a vegan. In fact, that's the latest trend. Have you seen this? It's kind
It's
the latest fad, vegan bodybuilders. You know, you can get big and strong being a vegan by exploiting the nitrogen that's in vegetables. All of this is to say we have health built into our bodies and built into God's green earth, George. Do you know what the word medicine comes from? Middle, like middleman. Medicine is a way of inserting something between us and our healing, divinely mandated healing powers that are built into the body and that are built into the planet. And the sense that I heard of the psychiatrist talking before I came on, he's talking about how we all feel fragmented and we all feel separated. And this is the problem. We don't feel connected to each other, and we don't feel connected to the planet. Because, George, if we felt connected to each other, we couldn't operate the way we're operating in this culture and around the world. And if we felt connected to the environment, we wouldn't be dumping toxic waste into the oceans. We wouldn't have Fukushima's and BP oil spills. We would figure out how to work with the planet. Instead of hitting the rock, we would be talking to the rock and asking the rock how best it can serve us and how best we can serve it. We would be cooperating with nature instead of fighting it. As Francis Bacon said, the founder of modern science said, we will put nature on the rack and tear its secrets apart limb from limb. This is what science is about. The word science itself means to cut, and this is how we operate. We cut. We break things apart. You take it to its smallest piece. Instead of operating with the universe and with the planet and with our bodies in the big picture sense, we're micromanaging all of the details, and none of this is necessary.
Don't you feel good when just one person takes your advice?
I can't tell you.
And it works for
George,
them?
George, that's what fuels me. I get up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I go to bed at 12:30 or 1 o'clock at night. And every minute in between, I'm looking at how I can make a difference in somebody's life. And you know what? I sleep easy. I can look at myself in the mirror. This is what it's all about, George. It's about helping others. It's about making a difference in the world. This is how you take care of dis-ease. This is how you restore your body back to a state of ease, by placing the attention on how you can make a difference in the world, how you can make an impact and improve somebody's life. And I can tell you, somebody who's changed through, I don't want to say I've done it, the information has changed their lives, but I've gotten to participate in it. And as somebody who's gotten to participate in sharing information that has transformed the lives of more people than I can count, thousands upon thousands of people over the last 32 years, I'm telling you, it is the most beautiful, gratifying feeling you could ever imagine. And I know there's people out there listening who I've helped, and I love you guys, and they're calling.
They're already calling for you, Ben.
I'm telling you, it is the most beautiful thing, and I feel so blessed that I get to do this.
So his website, criticalhealthnews.com, which we endorse, by the way, 120%, and a toll-free number. And they've got a staff that they've set up every time Ben Fuchs is on, or Dr. Joel Wallach is on, or Peter Glidden is on. They've set up a bank of people to help you ask and answer your questions. That's 1-855-949-RADIO if you want to spell it out, or 1-855-949-7234. They are there now. I'm told sometimes, Ben, after a program that you're on, the phone folks don't get to bed for at least the next day. The next day.
You know, there's a lot of people that this is first-time information for. There's a lot of people who have been so bamboozled, so immersed in the mainstream model of how we take care of our bodies. I call it the mainstream medical model, that this is radical information. But when you think about it, George, I do these presentations, and I can almost see people hitting the sides of their head. Like, you know, I could have had a V8. You ever seen, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Hitting the sides of their head, I can see that, because it just makes sense. When I tell people that the body is based on fluid dynamics, it's a hydraulic system, and that everything we're doing is compromising this hydraulic nature, and that oxygen's not being delivered, and toxins are accumulating, and nutrients aren't getting into cells, and this is the cause of disease, they're like, well, of course, that makes sense. George, if you can understand your plumbing, you can understand your body. If you can understand your kitchen sink, you can understand your body.
Like a car, you want it running. You don't want to fix it after it breaks down. You want to make sure you prevent the breakdown.
Yes, yes. Because once the body breaks down, it's tragic. Not that it can't be reversed, because it can.
It can, but it's tough.
But you don't want to go there.
It is tough. Well, yep. We're going to take calls next hour with you, Ben. Is there anything that you specifically want to talk with people about?
Yeah, but you know, I've been getting a lot of letters about macular degeneration, so I want to address that. And of course, you know, I've been in the skincare business now for 32 years, of eczema, psoriasis, acne, which are super tragic because they're on the outside of the body, especially with kids. Or, you know, adults too, but especially with kids. There are skin conditions that are not only physically debilitating, they're psychologically debilitating.
I was in your neck of the woods last week in the Denver area. I taped my 4 Beyond Belief TV shows. One of the guests has Morgellons.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's showing us his arms.
Oh, my goodness.
And, Ben, I wanted to run out of the studio. I just wanted to get away.
He sees that. You know, we're conditioned to look at each other's skin because from an evolutionary perspective, we're programmed to stay away from sick people because it wasn't in our evolutionary interest to be around
people. I know. I felt sorry for him. Hold on, Ben. We're going to hit the break, but we're going to come back. We'll talk more with you and take phone calls, criticalhealthnews.com. We'll be back.